What's up, freaks? This rip of RHR is brought to you by our good friends at Strike. If you hold Bitcoin, you shouldn't have to sell it to access liquidity. Strike offers Bitcoin-backed loans with zero origination fees, zero early repayment fees, and zero liquidation fees. Your Bitcoin is securely held and returned within a business day after your loan is closed. A financial institution built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. That's what Strike is building. They're doing it for you. I use it every day. Go download Strike at strike.me. And use code RHR for $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. Again, that's strike.me. Use the code RHR. You're going to get $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. This episode, again, is sponsored by Strike.
This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an Aragat fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q.
This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR, Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com, use the code RHR, and you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It's made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like seven a day. I drink a few a day, maybe seven a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. Drinksote.com. That's drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. For 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
I'm tired. I got home at like 3 a.m. last night. Woke up, took the kids to school. I haven't showered. I'm going to put my hat back on.
Logan says you look like Tintin.
Happy Friday. RHR Friday.
Happy Friday.
You all for waiting a day. So say I was traveling yesterday on the West Coast.
Yeah. I mean, that's the impressive part. I know we don't shout out ourselves enough, but that's the impressive part of not missing a week in 7 years. Is we're like constantly traveling for work. We obviously both have growing families. And so we got to be flexible. We got to move around when we're recording every week. And so to the freaks who keep joining us in the live chat and joining us live, even though we're not as that consistent on time of day and week, thank you.
Thank you. A lot. It's part of the charm of the show too. I would say it's like you never know when you're going to get it. We're not no agenda. You know exactly when they're going to record on Thursdays and Sundays. RHR is different.
Most shows.
It is weird traveling with everything going on in the Middle East. Like, I don't know if you've experienced this in the last couple of weeks since you've been traveling, but like I was on the West Coast. So I was like, all right, looking at the TSA lines, looking at all the oil infrastructure in the Middle East getting bombed. I'm like, fuck, am I going to get stuck on the West Coast and have to drive home?
Well, because the TSA hasn't been paid in a while, right? In a couple of weeks now.
I think it's been 3 weeks now at this point.
And it's extra fucked up because, I mean, look, the TSA can go fuck themselves, but the actual people that work there, I don't have the same contempt I have for the organization and the regulation towards the people. And they're getting paid like $35,000 a year. So like they're one of the lowest paid wage earners in the country, at least like in the bottom quarter. And imagine you're getting paid that little. And then, so you're definitely living week to week. You go 3 weeks without pay. Like that's serious. That's significant.
Yeah. It's not, it's not great.
No joke.
And I agree with you. I agree with my ire is toward the agency itself and the fact that it exists, not the individuals that work there. Though I have had my fair share of power drunk TSA agents fondle me.
Reaction can go fuck themselves too. They're also like, what is it called? Collaborators.
Yes. I saw a quote tweet the other day of like somebody was showing the lines of the Philadelphia airport, which were, I missed it by a day. Like I flew out to the West Coast on Wednesday morning, and Thursday they cut off two checkpoint access points, and it was pure chaos. Like I made it through security in like 20 minutes. The next day it was an average of like a 4 hour wait time. But somebody quote tweeted that the video, the Philly airport, and was like, come on, just fund the TSA. And it's like, no, we should abolish the TSA. And just like, there's been plenty of studies, like they're not effective. Like when they do the test studies of like, oh, are they going to catch like this fake bomb I'm getting through? Like, yeah.
Was a couple of years ago. They like got a handgun through Newark.
Yeah.
Like,
they failed.
What the fuck are you doing?
And then, not to give it ideas to anybody out there, but I ride Amtrak pretty frequently. And like, arguably that is more,
No, shut up.
Yeah. I'm going to shut up. But point being, it should go back to the way it was pre 9/11. They could just walk through.
And be shut fine. Your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
I they should not add TSA to Amtrak. I will say that, look, if the resolution out of all this is they're like 8 weeks later, they're still not paid and they abolish the whole thing. Like that would be fucking terrific. But what's going to happen is they're not going to get paid for like another 10 weeks or something ridiculous. Maybe they get paid before then. Their lives get significantly worsened as a result of government incompetency. And then there's like a huge new funding package to fund them even more. And it just gets even more locked in. But yeah, that's what they took from us.
Yeah, they took it from us.
And then the reason that it'll never get fucking abolished is because the rich people don't do it. Like a common talking point for me at like 2 a.m. When I'm hanging with friends and we're drinking a little bit is we need to add TSA to private jets. And then we'll get that thing abolished in like 3 months. It's risky because I hope to be private jet level one day. And there is a small probability that we add it to private jets and then we have to deal with it as well. But I think it's worth the risk. And if we add TSA and the private jet people have to go through that shit, then it'll get abolished really quickly.
I mean, I don't want this to come off as pompous. I'm a humble boy from Northeast Philly. But I flew private last week. Before, it was a prop plane, 4-seater, nothing crazy. It wasn't like a G5 or a G6 or anything. But like, was in a meeting some part of the country and was on my way to Texas and somebody that was in the meeting had a 4-seater prop plane. It was like, hey, do you just want me to drop you off? And I was like, yes, please. The experience of just walking onto the runway, municipal airport, and just getting on a plane without having to do anything is fucking incredible.
So fucked up.
Stay humble. Stay humble and stack sats. Yeah. It's way more convenient. Way more convenient. All right. Let's get
it's not even a convenience thing. It's a fucking humiliation ritual. They want you to feel like you're cattle.
Yeah, you certainly do. You certainly
okay, do. Sorry. We have to keep it tight this week, so no more ragging on TSA for now.
You know what? Why don't we just one time?
I don't know. How do we even get there? Oh, right.
I was traveling. TSA.
No, and also just the wild times we're living in right now. I mean, what the war now is at 3 weeks. I don't think people realize it's been 20 days in Iran with no internet.
It's been longer because we talked about it months ago. The regime shut it down when there were protests.
I think they briefly turned it back on, and then it's been off for a straight stretch of 20 days. Can you just imagine the chaos, like just in isolation, right? Because obviously their country is getting bombed. They're at war. Their leaders are getting assassinated. There's many things going on in Iran right now, obviously, and in the region. But just in isolation, imagine if the internet was cut in the United States for 20 days.
I mean,
people will lose their shit. X goes down for 2 hours and people lose their shit.
I feel like countries like Iran, though, like they're not conditioned, but they've got thicker skin, thicker internet skin when it comes to, I feel like they're more adapted to it. Not that it's a good thing. Yeah. Certain off. It would be much worse here. People would be freaking out.
Yeah. Same with like the rolling blackouts in Cuba. Like imagine if the United States had rolling blackouts and no internet, people would lose their shit. The cities would be wild.
I mean, we saw it in Texas in 2021. It was like 2 days. We're on the cusp of having full on chimp outs.
Okay. Sorry, right. I cut you off.
No, that's good. Clark's dashboard, current price of Bitcoin, $69,770. One cuck buck's going to get you 1,433 sats. We're at $1.4 trillion. Market cap, we are looking at block height 941,445, which means we are only 27 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment. So that should happen in about 4.5 hours. So 3:30 Eastern, or maybe probably a little later. Blocks been coming in at 10 minutes and 47 seconds on average, so probably around 4 p.m. Eastern, March 20th, 2026. Happy spring, by the way, freaks. First day of spring, looking like a negative 7.3% difficulty adjustment. There are currently 2,588 blocks in Clark's mempool. If you go over to mempool.space, we'll see that they have 26,715. Block space is cheap right now, 2 sats per V-byte for high priority transaction. And if you look at the last block, less than 1 sat per V-byte was getting through. So you're probably good. If you put a very low fee in, you can see spikes here. That's the state of the network. It's the state of the network. You don't have it on the list. There's a ton of, so our good friend Francis Paulette, he tweeted it out. And I thought it was a very apt tweet, but he was saying, you know, it's the end of a bear market when the pace of product shipping that we're seeing in the Bitcoin space is where it is today. A lot of shit dropped this week. It was cool to see. Whoop. It's quite funny. You can tell we're at the tail end of a bear market by the fact that Bitcoiners will tell. That's what he said. Did you see that?
No, but I'm glad you highlighted it for us.
Are you not impressed by the pace of shipping?
No, I mean, I just thought... there's a decent amount of things that have been shipped that are on the list.
I see it.
What's not on the list is Francis' commentary that there's a bunch of things being shipped. That's not on the list, but the things being shipped are on the list.
All right. Speaking of the list, things that we hope don't ship. One thing that we hope doesn't ship that is
apparently, this is crazy.
Being talked about as an amendment in a Kentucky bill that would threaten Bitcoin self-custody the amendment would make it so hardware wallets will be forced to reset seed phrases upon request from the Kentucky government. Our good friends at BPI were covering this, sounded the alarm bell, both figuratively and literally in emoji form in this tweet, as you can see. This is buried in Kentucky HB 380. Again,
fucking hate politics, man.
Reset user seed phrases on request. Could they even do that? Like, how would you do this? Or gaps?
I mean, specifically, I mean, obviously you could reset the seed phrase, but you wouldn't have access to the Bitcoin. They want like a backdoor access to the Bitcoin, like just press a button. And you can't, first of all, current hardware wallets aren't designed that way intentionally. And then second of all, you could never do it in a secure way because there's no such thing as a secure backdoor. If you have a backdoor, then malicious people can use it. I mean, in practice, if this thing got passed, what it would mean is hardware wallets just wouldn't be sold in Kentucky, which is not a great situation. Let's be clear here. But it was not like you pass a law and then automatically the functionality gets implemented. They were just completely cut themselves off from the hardware wallet market. This caught me off guard, but I think is another reminder that the fight to keep private and freedom-focused Bitcoin usage non-criminalized is very active and very fluid. And we got to keep the pressure on. Otherwise, we'll be right back where we started 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where they were just throwing Bitcoiners in the gulags. And every Bitcoiner that was building in this space in America had at least some level of concern that the FBI was just going to barge in through their fucking door. So we got to keep up the pressure.
What's going on in Kentucky? Who's proposing this? Like, who got the idea to propose this? So, like, to read the exact clause in Kentucky HB 380, Section 33, a hardware wallet provider shall provide a mechanism for and insist any person who owns a hardware wallet that provided by the provider, this doesn't even, that was provided by the provider with resetting any password, PIN, seed phrase, or similar information that is necessary to access the contents of the hardware wallet. As the BPI highlights, this mandate is technologically impossible. These things are air-gapped. I mean, at least if you're doing it the right way. We got the cold card queue here. Shout out to cold card sponsor, use code RHR. My favorite hardware wallet, MK5. Being delivered. They released it last week. Go check it out. But battery pack offline.
Yeah, they're shipping the MK5s, freaks. Use code RHR, coldcard.com.
Could you imagine Rodolfo if he like, all right, Kentucky. We have the Kentucky cold card queue where
He would just never sell it. He would just stop selling in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, the Kentucky politicians can enter the wrong PIN 13 times and have it wipe the seed. But I don't think that's what they're asking for.
No, they want the money. They want the money. Kentucky, get it together. Thomas Massey, get your state legislator in check there, sir. Please. Mm-hmm. All right. Quick rip today. I'm going to stay on task here. You know I like to meander, especially when I'm tired. Mind is racing, but somebody else was racing to get GPUs into China. That was the CEO, co-founder. Is this wild?
I mean, yeah. First of all, the dude's a billionaire. he had $500 million in his own stock alone. I mean, I think it shouldn't be. First of all, export controls are incredibly hard to enforce. So it should not be a surprise that people have been getting around them, right? Specifically these high end, top of the line AI chips, GPUs are being smuggled into China, even though they're legally not allowed to. But the crazy part to me is that he's literally an American based Chinese billionaire. And he was doing it himself. They have him on tape, like with a hairdryer. Like pulling off serial numbers and pasting on new serial numbers. So I just, I don't think you'd see many American billionaires do that for their country. Like, he clearly was doing it for the love of the game. It had not, like, what was he going to make more money? It doesn't feel like it was a money thing. It very feels like a nationalist pride thing. And then the last thing I would say is, I wouldn't be surprised if this connects back to NVIDIA. And they're, but NVIDIA is the golden goose. Like, they're going to protect NVIDIA. No one wants NVIDIA to get dragged into it.
Apparently, he's good friends with Jensen.
Yeah.
Like, very well known, like, high, like, pro, like, publicly associated good friends.
Yeah. Do you see the meme floating around? It's like Jensen being like, they need one of our bodies.
Yes. Yeah. I did see that.
And then it's his body that gets taken. But I think he faces up to 30 years for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's
$2.5 billion worth of compute. It's not. It's a lot.
How do we feel about this? How do we feel about these?
This meme is fucking hilarious.
Logan, you did the Bane voice. You do better than I do.
Expect one of us in the wreckage, brother.
Logan and I do Bane voices before a guest hops on the TFT Zoom.
I think export controls on AI hardware is a losing battle. Yeah, and we should, at least from a policy point of view, we should assume that they just will not be effective and not actually rely on it as a you know, as something that is perceived as effective. And I think what happens is I think there might be some, you know, it's a hard decision. Like, I understand that these things are very much getting rolled into defense tech on both sides. And so it's very much like a war footing type of thing. You don't want your enemy to have the best capability, which is why it exists. But what happens is you're basically just pushing all this stuff into the black market, and then you're not able to track it in any kind of way. Obviously it's negative for free markets in general, which I'm very much aligned with. And then it's just really hard to enforce. And particularly if manufacturing isn't happening in the United States. But even in this case, by the way, there's been a lot of speculation that, so the chips are made in Taiwan and then they get sent to like Singapore, and then Singapore resends them to China, right? And it makes sense. It's like all in the Asian sphere of influence. There's a lot of commingled money all around that region. And so at least in my head, I was like, oh, if we manufacture in the US, they have to like cross a really big ocean to like smuggle these things. But in this case, the chips were made in Taiwan, shipped to the US. The billionaire founder is like pasting serial numbers and then shipped back to China. It crossed the ocean twice.
I mean, the fact that he was using a hairdryer to take the stickers off—that's
dedication.
You're rich enough to hire somebody to do it, but the fact that you did it yourself—that's a love of the game, unlike anything.
I bet you he was a great boss.
If I'm worth $1 billion and I'm trying to do that, I'm not doing that. I don't think I'm going to do that.
No, Marty's flying private, no TSA, calling up his, telling his agent to tell the people to do things for him.
This billionaire is doing artisanal GPU smuggling. It's you got to respect it. He's going to get a prison though, seems like.
Zuckerberg would never do this himself.
No, God, no. Speaking of which, you have that on the list?
Probably the only U.S. billionaire. No, there's. I don't, is Palmer Luckey a billionaire yet?
I would assume so.
The only two that would have this level of hustle, I think, is Palmer and Elon. I could see both of them doing it, and Palmer would be doing it in like an Hawaiian shirt and like in Crocs.
And he probably wouldn't get caught because he knows he's like
no. Well, he wouldn't get caught by the Americans. He'd be complicit.
I like Palmer Luckey. Okay, I'm not a big war guy, as you guys know.
Not a big war. War is bad.
War is bad. Bitcoin, not bombs. But no, Palmer Luckey is extremely impressive.
I respect the hustle. I respect his vibe, but he's definitely going to be an enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mass surveillance, all this stuff is going to be used against us.
Yeah.
killer drones.
Well, you don't have it on the list, but we should bring it up. There was some autistic Redditor a couple of weeks. I think it happened after we recorded last week, but some autistic Redditor, we don't even have to pull up a link, but just to explain, like, all these age verification and open source software tools. This autistic Redditor did like an in-depth forensic sort of accounting of all the lobbyist groups that have been funding politicians that are bringing these age verification bills to the floor as in individual states. And it all tracks back to Facebook. Like, Facebook is funding all of it.
I saw that. I guess we didn't talk about it last week, right? My bad. Yeah. It should have been on the list. They spend like $2 billion on it, right? To do KYC on the internet.
Yeah. And it's like Zuck's been trying to build up his cool guy, like, privacy sort of personality over the last 3 or 4 years. Post COVID, like, he's trying to make COVID FBI stuff. And
I don't know if he's necessarily been trying to make himself seem pro privacy, but
he's been trying to.
He's definitely trying to improve his personal brand. Yes. Remember, I mean, like, the holding the American flag, wakeboarding or whatever. But I will say, is it in a long-term marriage? He's like clearly not chasing looks, seems like a family that is well taken care of and good spirits, and they're like eating meat. And they're like fucking over local Hawaiians, but like they have their own little citadel over there. Like, there's definitely levels of respect there in terms of, he could have very much been like one of these, I don't know, like disgusting playboy billionaire types if he wanted to be.
Could he?
Like, he could have been Bezos, but instead he's like a family man. And I respect that part. But he definitely wants KYC on the internet. And freaks, it's not that hard to realize why. Like, the reason is because all of these tech companies, they're in the data collection business. And with bots and AI and whatnot, it's really hard to figure out which people are real and which people aren't, and whose data is more valuable, and to be able to monetize that data. And if you're able to attach it to verifiable identification, then it makes all of that data significantly more valuable.
Yeah. And apparently Meta's already got the technical architecture and infrastructure set up where they'd be compliant out of the gate.
Yeah. And regulatory mode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So be aware. Meta's funding all this, throwing a lot of money at it too. So that's going to be a fight to pay attention to in the coming years. They're really going to try and KYC.
I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of surprise of how much they're spending. But also, I mean, if you look at the pay packages that they're giving the AI people, like, they just have so much fuck you money. They're just spending money like crazy. But it shouldn't be a surprise.
They spent like, all right, we're up on this.
It shouldn't be a surprise to people that they're supporting it. And I will say, like, once again, I will say that most of big tech is. And they're not so quiet about it. Like, if you, like, X's policy page literally says, we support age verification of users. They've gone out on record trying to get the Texas bill passed. Anyone in the data surveillance game wants increased KYC across everything.
Yeah. Be aware, speak up, fight back. On the more positive, use Noster. You know, on that note, we'll skip and come back on the list while we're mentioning Noster. Primal 3.0. is live. It's got a new wallet, polls, and gifts, and we've got the founder of Primal. And it's also at Primal.
That's not Million in the video. That's Paul Keating. I know you know.
That's Paul. I'm looking at our live stream group chat. Million.
Go on.
Funds are Safu.
Yeah, in the video, this is Paul. He's awesome and a good friend. But yeah, look, the Primal team, we've been working on this for 6-7 months now. Massive release. Complete redesign of our wallet architecture. So previously we were using Strike Custodial. It was great. The UX was great, but it required light KYC, had limits, was not global. For instance, you couldn't use the Primo wallet in Canada because Strike doesn't support Canada, which is just absolutely wild. So we wanted to move to something better for a while now, but we have very strict requirements. It needs to be easy to use. It needs to have full Lightning and on-chain support. And then it needs to have full Nostr integration. The big one on the Lightning side is because of Nostr, you need to be able to just create a new wallet and then just immediately receive Zaps. So you shouldn't need Bitcoin to then be able to receive Bitcoin. And you should be able to receive small amounts, right? A lot of these apps are like 21 sats. That's like 7 cents, right? You'd be able to receive it. And so what we found works best right now is Spark by LightSpark. This allows us to offer a wallet that is probably one of the easiest wallets, Bitcoin wallets that people have ever used. You can immediately get set up. You get seed backup. We worked with them to build out full Nostr integration. So you have full Zaps, everything that you'd expect there. Right now, we don't have like the nice, pretty full Zap receive info live yet, but it will be live in the next update. I'm already testing it. It should be out in a few days. No limits, global. You get a seed backup. Please backup that securely. It works across other Spark-based wallets like Wallet of Satoshi, and Cake Wallet. And so you can just move it back and forth. And we did what a lot of people said is, you know, is one of the hardest things to do in this space, which is migrate people from a custodial wallet. We migrated 7,000 wallets over the last 3 days. And as a result, overnight, by the way, some wallets were showing zero balance errors. And it was because we overloaded Spark's indexer. So we migrated 7,000 wallets. Also, this update has polls, including Zap polls. And the Bugle Boys launched Maxi Madness with Zap polls. So we migrated 7,000 wallets, and then everyone was zapping like crazy. It overloaded the indexer that checks wallet balances. You can think of it kind of like an Electrum server on regular Bitcoin. It was showing people zero balances. And so we reached out to them overnight and we were like, we have RHR. We have RHR in the morning. We need this fix before RHR in the morning. And they rolled out the fix about 30 minutes ago, right before we went live.
We hit up David this directly?
Of course, straight to the top. So yeah, everything should be working now. I think you'll really enjoy the experience. Even if you don't want to use Nostr as a social network, consider playing around with Primo as a wallet. I think it's important to think of it as more of a spending wallet. Obviously, this is a hot wallet. Don't keep large amounts in it. Keep your savings in cold storage. As we said earlier, we recommend the cold card. Use code RHR. But I think this is a phenomenal win, a massive win for Bitcoin as money. I think if you care about Bitcoin as money and people using Bitcoin as money, the easiest way to get there, the most actionable way to get there is to release tools that make Bitcoin more accessible and easier to use. And I think we made a huge step forward on that. Last but not least in the Primal 3.0 update is we added a gift button. That was harder than people realize. We wanted to do it Nostr native. Most of the gift providers, yes, there's like a whole industry of gift providers out there, require you to host with them. Basically, the image is on their servers so that they can see every time someone viewed it and their IP address. And that was a non-starter for us. So we figured out a way to do it where everything is hosted native on Nostr on Blossom servers. So everything's hashed and signed and reproducible. So you can have redundant copies of your gifts and not have the gift company have all of your information, which I thought was pretty cool. And then we updated the onboarding flow. In the early days of Primal, I think a lot of people rightfully gave a shit that there was like auto follows and stuff like that, which was kind of hacky. Now there's proper lists. You can choose if you want to follow people at start or not. It's a very smooth flow, no KYC. The last thing I would just add is the biggest trade-off of this new wallet architecture is you are trusting Primal and Lightspark with your privacy. Both Primal and Lightspark can see all of your transactions. Externally, people cannot see those transactions, but obviously you should assume that that data will become available to people at some point. That's how you should think about it in your trust model. But Spark does offer unilateral exit, so you can exit on-chain without permission of Spark or Primal. And if we find a better option for our users, we're going to adapt and move to it in the future. But I'm pretty excited about this. Download Primal in your favorite app store.
Download Primal. Shout out to Milian, Marco, Paul, the team over there. Incredible upgrade. One comment to the Bugle Boys. We got a little tiff last night. Pretty pissed I'm not part of the Noster Marsh Madness.
Didn't even get but you're in the X one, right?
Yeah, I'm in the X one.
I think they're probably pretty happy. That was probably intentional, and they're probably pretty happy that you're pissed about it. So you just gave them some bait. You just took the bait. They have two different brackets. They have one for Noster and one for X. And like I said, the Noster one uses our new Zap Poll feature. They're using the Zap Poll feature in the most aggressive way, by the way, where everyone gets one vote, but you can put infinite sats, and whoever has the most sats wins. Which is obviously, there's elements there that are pretty gameable, especially since they're sponsored by Predix, and so they have a live prediction market betting on this stuff. So you can like go bet on it and then switch the thing. Yeah. But I think missing there is, I think it's important to tell people we give at Primer, we give people that are creating the polls a lot of creativity if they want to do no zaps, if they want to do zaps. But then also within zaps, the feature that I really like is you can set a minimum sat amount and a maximum sat amount for a vote in the poll. And I really like doing a small min-max that's the same. So like 21 sats min-max, that means every vote requires 21 sats. What I like about that is, first of all, you can't just like easily buy a vote. The vote costs 7 cents. I don't know, the vote costs a penny. 100 sats is 7 cents. The vote costs a penny. But it helps mitigate bots because it adds some level of cost and friction to people hitting these polls with bots. If you want to like spin up a bot army and you want to do 1,000 votes, then they need 1,000 wallets. They need to send 1,000 zaps, all 21 sats. So I think that's a really cool feature that I think people are going to have fun with, because you should just assume at this, you polls on the internet are flooded with bots, and there's only two ways to mitigate them. You could either mitigate them with zaps and webs of trust, or you can mitigate them with KYC. And what we're seeing big tech do is try and mitigate them with KYC. But I think the better way is to mitigate them with zaps and webs of trust. And that's kind of where we're going with it on Primal.
I just, what the heck, Bugle Boys? Zapped. I mean, I think an upset of Justin Mood.
No, you have to wait. The zap receipt is going to get sent. When you refresh, it'll be there.
Not there yet. Not there yet.
And obviously all the sats in the polls go to whoever the poll creator is. So the Bugle Boys are pulling in the most revenue they've ever pulled in.
This sellouts.
On their voting structure.
You know, it's I love the Bugle Boys. I kid. It's in jest. Apparently, they love our thumbnails. Our thumbnails are pleb cocaine, as it was described.
Yeah, we're. I think I brought it up, but we're going to be doing a show with them in Vegas on the 27th. So there'll be more info released shortly on that. We're like trying to iron down the venue and everything.
Yeah. We got to keep going. You've got a hard stop here in 17 minutes. We're not even halfway through. Sticking on the list updates, Strike line of credit has expanded to 21 states. So this was launched, what, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago at this point. And they said, hey, we're going to ship and we're going to continue knocking off states. They're already up to 21 states. Every state that they add is another group of Bitcoiners who never have to sell a sat to cover expenses again. Let me see.
Use code RHR if you're signing up for a new Strike account for $500 off trading fees.
Yeah.
And then set up auto DCA and you never have to pay another trading fee again.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, the Strike team is mission focused on rolling this out to everywhere. We already offer our services, all 50 states, 90 plus countries. In the US, at least, my understanding is it's not a regulatory burden on future rollout. We just don't want, the system needs to be like properly, we're like leaning into it, right? Rather than releasing it to everyone at once. Yeah, a staged gradual rollout, but we're trying to move as quick as possible.
Yeah. Beware, freaks, beware. Next up, we got the Human Rights Foundation.
The other thing on Strike is we lowered fee levels for the highest tier users, 10 million plus. I think part of it is just the success of Jack's reach and his early narratives around Strike, but a lot of people still think of it as a payments first business. If you're a high net worth out there and you want to move lots of coin or lots of dollars into Bitcoin, Strike is a great choice for you.
Yeah.
Consider it.
Here, I really appreciate the fees being at 10.
When Marty's on his private jet trading $10 million, he's very grateful for the BIPs decrease.
I kid. I wish. One day, maybe. Financial Freedom Report, story of the week coming out of Asia, where states ration energy as fuel prices surge, as the Strait of Hormuz remains closed to shipping amid conflict between Iran, Israel, and the United States, and I would add the broader Gulf region now. At this point, governments across Asia are rushing to reduce energy use as fuel prices climb. And supply issues strain economies reliant on Middle Eastern oil. Bangladesh's limited supply of fuel and closed universities to save electricity. Pakistan shut schools and shifted service online, while the Philippines adopted a four-day work week for some government offices. Vietnam and Thailand are promoting remote work, and South Korea has set a fuel price cap for the first time in nearly three decades. As we saw after the outbreak of COVID, authoritarian regimes often exploit macroeconomic crises to expand and cement their control. For more stories like this and others, make sure you go to financialfreedomreport.org. I mean, I think there is like a legit economic force to this force. Like, I think energy lockdowns have been talked about, but like, I do think some of these countries are running out of petrol, specifically, like literally.
Yeah, and they weren't prepared at all. They had no reserves. And the fucking strait is closed. And Trump is not playing 4D chess. Bro thought it was going to be a weekend assassination job and didn't think about the consequences. And now we're dealing with the impact of it.
I've had two cross-country flights in the last 3 days, which means there's a lot of doom scrolling you get on the internet. You're just following. It's just like, I mean, we were talking about it like in a chat offline, but like the disruption to the oil and gas supply chain, particularly in the Eastern Hemisphere, is going to be, it already is catastrophic. It is going to be incredibly disruptive for years to come at this point. If the reports of the refineries of Qatar, UAE, Kuwait, Iran are as Saudi Arabia are as extensive as they seem to be. Qatar,
and it seems like it's escalating too. I mean, did you see what Trump said? Trump said the Israelis hit the Iranian gas fields.
Rosbar,
it's one of the biggest gas fields in the world. And then The Iranians responded by hitting Qatar, and like specifically was like a refinery or something, right? Something that's really expensive and difficult to build.
G refinery, yeah.
Yeah, and then Trump came out and was like, if you do that again, I'm blowing up your entire gas field. How dare you think it was related to us or Qatar that the Israelis hit you? We were completely unrelated.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's not good.
I mean, the gaslighting is insane. Laughable because who the fuck does he think he's talking to? Like, not everybody's retarded.
It's 4D chess. It's 4D chess, though. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. All right. We've got 10 minutes. We're not going to belabor this point. There's enough people talking about the war. You can go find that analysis somewhere else. A soap miner.
And we'll probably still be talking about it next week based on how this is all going.
We'll have more time next. We'll elaborate on it next week. Soap miner's app, 21,212 sats, palindrome, zap. I thought there was a message earlier, but I'm not seeing one now. I don't know if you can see one. If you do, you can read it. But
I don't see soap miners.
Chesapeake Bitcoiner. Chesapeake Bitcoin's at 21,000 sats. Chesapeake Bitcoin has our inaugural meetup on March 28th. That's next Saturday at 2 p.m. Location is Accordo Chiropractic in Chesapeake, Virginia. Everybody getting their back work done next week in Virginia. We meet the fourth Saturday of every month. This is the sixth meetup group in the Hampton Roads Bitcoin meetup community. We now have a meetup every week of the month. Let's go. Come join us if you are in the area. Check out our website at ChesapeakeBTC.org. Bitcoin is for everyone, I'm assuming. I can't see the full name here. 21,031 sats. What's up, freaks? Bear market is for building genuine connections. Bitcoin is for everyone. The biggest Bitcoin conference in the Pacific Northwest, set for May 22nd and 23rd at Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. Ticket sales are live at bitcoinisforeveryone.com. Use promo code RHR for 21% off. I love this trend.
The RHR promo code is spreading.
I'm just going to assume this one is make no mistakes, 21,000 sats.
Yeah.
Get yourself a Clanker, self-hosted on a dedicated laptop, makenomistakes.shop. Use code RHR for $50 off. Let's
there
go.
There we go. Use code RHR everywhere you go. And if it doesn't work, message support and ask them why it doesn't work. Link them to RHR.tv.
TSA line now. I mean, if the TSA line's backed up in your airport because we're not paying them, you go to the front of the line, you just whisper to the TSA agent, you go RHR. They're like, oh, go ahead, sir.
I got to say, I like makenomistakes.shop. Not a bad domain. And then there's one more 21,000 sat zap from Phil Mustang, artisanal zap, Smuggalo.
That was 21,212 sats, sir, palindrome zapped. And then
crunch for time.
From Bracket Bingo, 21,212 sats, palindrome zap. March is here, brackets, bingo, and Bitcoin. We've got
and one then,
two more to read.
Then we also, on the Noster video, which you can find at primal.net/RHR from last week, the highest zap was Roaming, our ride or die freak, with just under 21,000 sats, but I'll read it anyway. He did the asteroid emoji that he's famous for. Love to see it. By the way, freaks, I'm redesigning RHR.tv. I have not told Marty yet. And it's not quite finished yet, but it's supposed to show the top zappers of all time across both the live stream and also if you zap the Noster video, will be shown on the website. It's pulling it directly from Noster. And so I need to like figure out a way to index it so that the information is more complete. Depending on when you refresh, sometimes it shows different people. But I think that's kind of cool and I'm pretty excited about it.
I love it so far. You've been vibe coding a lot, sir. You've been vibe coding hard.
It's fun.
Two more zaps to read. Woodminer, 30,303 sats. Palindrome zap. What's up, freaks? Longtime listener, first time caller. Be sure to check out the only Noster native farmers market tomorrow, Saturday, March 21st, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central. That's 1400 to 1500 UTC. There will be 15 plus Noster native vendors of high quality goods available for Sats. Matt and Marty enjoy a 50,000 sat credit at the wood mine if you decide to stop by. Go to https://bullishmarket.onrender.com. So is this like an online market?
Bullishmarket.onrender.com.
Yeah.
And then last one, 33,000.
No, it looks like it's a farmer's market. It's an in-person market. He just linked you to a website with information.
You sure?
Oh, maybe a Noster native farmer's market?
A real-time multiplayer 2D market experience where you can walk around, interact.
So like okay, so you're right. It's just internet. Interesting. Yeah. Fascinating. Wild times you live in.
Maybe I'll check it out. I got the kids to myself tomorrow, actually. I got three of them to myself. Wish me luck tomorrow, freaks.
So kids, you want to go to the farmer's market? Let's go to my office.
Yeah, get in here. Get in here. And last but not least, Brian, 33,333 sets, threes across the board, palindromes at. Noster is for agents now. I like that. Agents so hot right now. Speaking of which, if you have an agent and you want to be able to buy things online and you need it to basically know who's accepting Bitcoin via L402 payment gateways, Ryan Gentry, friend of the show, friend of the crew, legendary Bitcoiner, launched 402index.io, which doesn't seem to be working right now, but it was pretty cool when it was working. It looks like Logan's got it up. You can basically go find, he's basically trying to create an index of agentic services offering the ability for other agents to purchase things using Bitcoin via the L402 protocol or the X402 protocol. He's doing diagnostic checks on the endpoints to make sure that they're up and running and basically letting you know which ones are reliable. Then on top of that, two-sided marketplace, if you have sort of a gated service that you want to offer via L402, you can put it on the index as well.
Look, it's pretty simple. Like if you want to use this AI stuff with data providers, because that's where they really get superpowered, is when they're able to pull in real data and use it, right? So like I've talked about in the past, I'm building CitadelWire.com. It's pulling in a bunch of data, right? And then it's using that data to then provide whatever service it wants to do, right? In this case, it's a news wire, right? The problem is a lot of these APIs, you need a human to go to the website, sign up for an account, pay with a credit card. It's a whole fucking process. It should just be native. You should be able to just tell your bot, I want you to buy this information. It should be able to pay with sats and then get access to the API all in like 2 seconds with one prompt. And that's where we're moving. Now, a lot of the industry is moving to USD tokens, Tether, USDC, whatnot. So I actually think one of the cool parts of this site that you didn't highlight is that it lists all of them.
That's why I said X4.
Oh, sorry. I missed that. But it lists all of them, right? So you can see where the shitcoins are being accepted for API stuff versus Bitcoin. And we are losing right now. We know from the BPI report that the AI agents prefer Bitcoin. But the API providers are moving towards USD tokens. So we need to stop that trend and offer more options for people that and agents that want to use sats as the currency. Bitcoin as money.
It's pretty cool. I mean, there's already 15,537 endpoints index. They've tracked, not tracked.
We clearly vibe this website too.
Yeah. 5,753 payments have been verified. So 563 payments, or excuse me, providers indexed. This is cool. I'm thinking of something that I can add to this. More on that later. Next on the list, maybe applicable to what we just talked about. Bolt introduced non-custodial USDT swaps from Lightning Sats to stablecoins. So this is pretty cool, just being able to summary swap from Lightning to Tether and vice versa.
So this is what I was talking about last week or 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about Bitcoin versus shitcoins and agents, and I said, actually, it's not clear that Bitcoin immediately has a massive advantage here, because if you're already in the shitcoin ecosystem, it's easier to move between different assets, right? Like if you already have USDC on Base, it's easy to get USDC on Polygon. It's harder to go from sats on Bitcoin to Polygon. And so Bolt solved that issue, right? If I use the example, OpenRouter, which is one of the largest pay-per-use AI providers, the only quote-unquote crypto they accept is USDC on Base, right? So if your agent has sats and you want to pay for AI tokens with OpenRouter, it was a real clusterfuck to get those sats into a payable form for OpenRouter. Now you can just use Bolts, take no custodial risk in transit. Obviously, you know, if you're using USDC, you trust USDC. And if you're using most of these shitcoin networks, by the way, they're legally considered self-custody, but they still rely on heavy trust in the operator. Like Tron, for instance, is run by Justin Sun. He's running a massive custodial wallet that is running $10 billion worth of Tether around. But legally speaking, it's considered self-custody, and that's enough for regulators. But yes, I think this is a cool feature. I don't really use USD tokens myself. But like I said, particularly I got exposed to them more through my agent trying to pay for things. And now this helps that last mile. And I think it's interesting because it's a lot more pragmatic for actual end users that need these things today, rather than this whole concept of, oh, we're going to put Tether on Bitcoin, on Lightning or Liquid or this or that. It's like most Tether's on Tron and Ethereum and Solana. So if you want it, you can do an atomic swap at time of delivery and just have your agent hold it on the chain, and that's fine. It is what it is.
Yes. Matt, like in your clanker, like my clanker, Discover Bolts. Like I was saying, when I set up my Phoenix D server, it's like, oh, we need to open a channel. I was like, all right, how do I do that? He's like, oh, I found this Bolts thing. You send it on chain here, it'll submarine swap or atomic swap into a Lightning channel. So they know how to use this stuff. So if you're out there, you find a service that you want your agent to use and has a paywall, USDC, USDT, pointed towards Bolts, and it'll figure it out itself.
And the cool part is if it doesn't know, you can actually send it this blog post. Be like, read this blog post and do it.
Yeah. Make no mistakes. Moving on, Nostr VPN, open source VPN project shared on Nostr is out there now. I think we've been talking about this for years. It seems like making some progress.
I think Marty Malmy. I think he just vibed it and shipped it.
He went back to his OG name. I was like, this looks like Marty.
He was Marty Malmy for a bit. And he switched it. You're right.
That was his name. Back in the day.
Yeah, when he was working with Satoshi directly. I think really cool. It just shows the flexibility of Nostr, right? It's super easy to build on Nostr. In this case, he wanted a basically simple feature to route between his two computers. And historically, a lot of people have used Tailscale for that, but that requires a third-party account. So he just quickly built one that uses Nostr relays to do the pairing and connection. And then it creates an encrypted tunnel between the two computers.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Very early, just released, but I thought it was cool, so I wanted to... I mean, he literally released it this morning, but I wanted to highlight it.
Marty's that dude. Shout out to you, Marty. Serious. I'm going to start calling you serious now. Is this pretty dystopian? Seems pretty dystopian. Next on the list, we have introducing Dasher tasks. Dashers can now get paid to do general tasks. We think this will be huge for building the frontier of physical intelligence looking forward.
It's incredibly dystopian.
I didn't see this.
Big tech ops deleted all your... Is it been deleted?
Yeah, I'm on
that. No, he has you got to delete French on the back of the URL. So you had like a,
oh, weird. You know. First AI obsoleted the white collar jobs. Now DoorDash is releasing a feature that basically is to train AI agents. Like the example they use is you're a DoorDasher and you get a task in the app to go take a picture of mustard on the store shelves, which is 100% to just be like, the agent wants to know how much mustard and what brands are on the store shelves right now.
Yeah,
and then they'll pay you pennies and give you no job security. And you won't even have a person that you can talk to that's employing you. It's just a big, massive corporation that's using you for the most basic menial labor possible. So yes, it's very dystopian.
Andy Fang, very, very excited.
Is he the DoorDash CEO or founder or something? Like this is not a dystopian. This is not meant to be a dystopian post. This is him proudly announcing the new feature.
Yes. Co-founder and CTO.
It's not funny, but you got to laugh at these things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just going to get really depressing.
You got to laugh. You got to find the silver lining, the humor in life, freaks. Speaking of which, staying on the dystopian tip. I mean, we knew this. We knew that like Pokemon Go was sort of a...
We called it at the time.
Yeah,
back when it was going on, we said this.
Yeah.
No one should be surprised. Lots of people are surprised, so it's important to highlight it.
Yeah. So essentially, it is becoming clear that Niantic, which is the technology used behind Pokemon Go, and the company behind it, they were working as a U.S. Department. The founders worked at the U.S. Department of State in the 90s, then founded Keyhole Inc., which was funded by InQtel, which is the CIA's venture capital arm acquired by Google, became Google Earth. Pokemon Go wasn't just a game. It was the beta test for global surveillance. So Niantic, similar funding flow, and they were basically like the Dashers are going to be doing, instead of finding Pokemon, they're finding mustard on a shelf.
Yeah, I mean, the impressive part was at least DoorDash is paying you for the menial labor. Pokemon Go, supposedly 8 billion photos with location data. So GPS-enabled photos were taken by Pokemon Go users over the years and then immediately used to train AI. And specifically, automated vision for robots and drones and whatnot. So when they told you like, oh, go down your street, like take a picture, there's a Pokemon line there, whatever. Like there's a killer drone that's going to be using that that picture that you took to figure out what to kill and where to go.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
That Geo dude you scooped up
in that
remote location is actually going to be that picture of where Geodude, where you caught him,
it truly is impressively evil. Like, well played.
I mean, we called it when it was going on. It's like, there's no way.
100% GPS permissions, like, taking photos everywhere. Very obvious.
Yes. Many people caught, because that was like a COVID thing. People were like, oh, we can get out, we can get our steps. It's like Pokemon Go helps me get my steps while we're in lockdown.
It was before COVID. It was before COVID, but people were definitely playing it during COVID. Let's see. When did Pokemon Go launch? I mean, it was a phenomenon. July 6, 2016. I mean, and the game mechanics weren't great either. It was like, they were really not hiding it. They were just like, go take pictures with GPS location places. There was no like old school Pokemon battles or stuff like I used to love with the old Game Boy games. You'd wire up and play Pokemon against each other. Battle.
Those were the days when you just had the Game Boy. I remember when I first got Pokemon Red and I literally played it. I killed the batteries in my Game Boy the first day I got it. The Christmas I got it, played Pokemon Red all day, like up until dinner. And then my Charizard, like I didn't train him well enough, and he just completely, he would just like sit there and not attack people. And I got completely.
He was just lame.
Yeah, he got too fat.
That's right. Why you don't you spoil your Charizard.
You don't spoil your Charizard. You got to learn. You got to learn.
I got one more story here. Yeah,
I know. Last thing on the list. This is. I mean, I saw this too. Just like
this is also a reoccurring theme. This.
Yeah. How do militaries let this happen? Like, how is there not like a law? Like, no tracking devices. No.
Yeah. I mean, this one is particularly bad. So, in the past, we have covered stories about Strava specifically, which is a fitness tracker that uploads anonymized, quote unquote, anonymized location data onto their website, and it's shown like CIA bases and stuff because, well-off, physically fit white people are the buyers of these things, and they run in circles around their CIA base. And then, even though it's "quote unquote" anonymized, you see the CIA agents running circles around this base in the middle of the desert. This one, I mean, besides the fact that this has happened like 10 times already, this one's particularly crazy because it was a guy running on a French aircraft carrier. So he's literally just showing where the aircraft carrier is in the Mediterranean on the way into the Middle East.
Yeah, your link was broken again for that. Logan, here it is pulled up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all good. But it is like, it's just like literally, you can see the ship.
It's him running circles on an aircraft carrier. That's moving. Fucking insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's insane for the incompetence, and it's also insane that Strava still has customers when this is what they do with the data. Like, how are people cool with this? It's a black pill that people are cool with this, that they wear this fucking cattle tag that just broadcasts their location all the time to the public internet.
Nothing on the wrist. Nothing on the wrist. No.
I have a Casio.
I'm not a big health device.
No smartwatch. It's just...
I mean, this thing's
the just same a thing. Just a watch. Yeah. An incredibly well-built watch that tells the time very accurately.
Yeah.
Use code RHR at Casio.com. It will not get you a discount, but maybe it'll bug them into adding RHR.
No. I think you get at least 15% off if you use code
15. RHR.
Yeah. Try it. Try it. All right, you got to go. This is great. Heads down. Shit's going to get weird. It's already getting weird. Things are going to get expensive. I mean, you see it at the pump. It's $4 a gallon already here. It was literally less than a month ago, $2.25. Food's going to get expensive. Prep. I'm buying a quarter, Cal. Another. I have a quarter in the freezer. I'm buying another quarter in the next couple weeks here. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm prepping. I've started prepping.
Good advice. Great advice. Freaks, check out CitadelArcade.com. My Vive game project. I added zappable leaderboards. So the weekly winners are decided in 2 days. I will zap the winners of each game 1,000 sats a pop. So go play it, check it out. I will add more games. I'm just having fun with it. It's a cool proof of concept too. And then if you're not already subscribed to Citadel Dispatch, search it in your favorite podcast app. I'm interviewing right after this. I'm interviewing the Simple X founder, the chat client. I'm pretty fucking excited about this. He's a legend in his own right. It's a great chat app. And, I thought it was kind of cool. He found my Simple X contact information and he reached out to me on his own app. Yeah. And then we had a phone call on Simple X. It's like really, we like actually did the thing.
Well, that's what you want to see. You want to see somebody building something, dog fooding it, actually using it. That's a good signal there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, freaks, love you all. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.